Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Well, tonight my guest is a New Yorker who has transplanted herself to Southern California, actually Temecula, which is about 30 miles south from me. Sandy Schwartz, host of the popular Leading Edge Parenting Show, is with me tonight to talk about an incredible book, The Vortex by Abraham Hicks. You know, I met Sandy about 4, maybe 5 years ago at the Abraham Hicks workshop in San Diego, and we just immediately hit it off. And I noticed Sandy is incredibly knowledgeable about Abraham Hicks' teachings, as well as being a highly educated parenting expert. So I'm really, really happy to say that Sandy has been an absolute blessing to Southern California. I'm so glad she moved here. For those of you that have issues about parenting and the Law of Attraction, you absolutely must listen to Leading Edge Parenting Show. It's so insightful. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes with Sandy right after these words. Come discover Canada's most unique and inspirational events, the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo. Explore the many ways to improve your life mentally, physically, and spiritually as you expand your own consciousness. Attend seminars and workshops with the world's most life-changing authors, experts, and speakers. Body, Soul, Spirit Expo events are throughout Canada to fit your schedule, and with inspirational speakers such as shamanic best-selling author Dr. Stephen Farmer and superfood guru David Wolf. To find a Body, Soul, Spirit Expo that you would like to attend, go to www.bodysoulspiritexpo.com. That's bodysoulspiritexpo.com. Access your forgotten abilities to create a happy and joyful life that is filled with abundance through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Listen to shows that will inspire and uplift your consciousness, required to fulfill your desires, by downloading your favorite shows to your MP3 player. Join us at loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com. We're back. Oh my goodness, we're only 20 days away from our big cruise in San Diego. And here it is. Today it was 103 in the middle of October. Well, I guess I'm going to be wearing my summer clothes on the cruise. You know, this cruise is already a huge success. So guess what? We are planning another one for May or June of next year. So if you want to go on the next cruise, send me your email address and I will put your name in this beautiful red jewel box that will be in the center of the vortex on the ship. All 10 powerful healers will send energy to your desire to participate in the next cruise. Then stand back and allow the miracles in. And for those of you who would also like to be in the red jewel box in the center of the vortex with a particular issue, send me your name and put an I am statement next to your name, such as, I am extremely happy, I am financially secure, or I'm in love with my energetic match, or I am enjoying my success and well-being. State your issue as if you already have the issue resolved. Send it to me at jules@loaradionetwork.com. That's Jules, J-E-W-E-L-S, @loaradionetwork.com. and as soon as I receive it, I will put it in the jewel box, and a piece of you will be experiencing the energy on the cruise as if you are with us. You may not be with us physically on the cruise, but you will be with us in spirit. Just remember, energy has no time or space limitations. You will be energized by this, and you will see manifestations. And just maybe, you will be sailing into the lap of luxury on our very next cruise. So go ahead, send in your issue, send in your intentions, send in whatever you like. Just remember the I am statements. That's very important. Now I want to let everyone know that starting on the first Sunday of every month, I'm going to have international astrologer and best-selling author Marguerite Manning, author of Llewellyn's Cosmic Karma. You may remember we had Marguerite on a few months ago, and I must tell you, the response was incredible. Marguerite consented to be my regular guest and share breakthrough astrological principles for this very special Therapy for the Soul segment on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. So tune in and learn how living up to your brilliant potential in this life is often just a matter of relinquishing your soul's fears from a previous one. Or better yet, call in with the date, time, and city of your birth and discover just what's keeping your soul stuck in the past. Both Marguerite and I will answer your questions in regards to how to break free from the past and dive right into the future. I'm so excited about that. So mark your calendars November 1st as Marguerite Manning will be on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with the new monthly series called Therapy for the Soul. Now, coming on Law of Attraction Radio next week will be homeopathic practitioner Ella Corcoran, who was trained in Europe. She's also a teacher in the science of getting rich and masterminding. So you're really going to enjoy Ella next week. She's a true delight. I met her in person, and I love her to death. And then after that, we have Dr. Bruce Lipton coming back on to tell us some brand new things about our body and health and the power of belief. It's going to be wonderful to have him back on, and I know he and Lynn McTaggart are trying to get the word out about something, so you're not going to want to miss this. Now let's get going on tonight's show, and I want to give you a little background about my friend Sandy Swartz, who happens to be on Law of Attraction Radio Network every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific. She is extremely popular with her loving and joyful approach to parenting. What a blessing this woman is to our world. I think you're going to agree with that statement. Sandy is a nationally respected educator, parenting expert, and motivational speaker with over 35 years of experience in the field of child development. She holds a master's degree from Columbia University and is the recipient of many distinguished honors and awards. She has written and published educational articles and is the co-author of the book In Service from the best-selling series Wake Up, Live the Life You Love. Welcome, Sandy, back to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hey, Julie, it's wonderful to be on again with you.
Well, today we are going to be reviewing Abraham Hicks' latest book called The Vortex. Sandy, I got to tell you, I absolutely love this book. What did you think about it?
Well, you know, I was excited because I knew my grown daughter had bought the book and she was coming to visit me. And I was like a little kid waiting to get a present because I just couldn't wait to read it. And so I started to read it because I heard everyone was saying to me, this is their best book yet. It's the most clarifying one. You're going to love it. I was like salivating. And you know what? I really think that, is it their best book yet? I guess Abraham would say it's our best book yet, and there's, you know, more to come. And for me, if I'm in the right place, then I think whatever I'm reading resonates with me, and it's the best thing I've heard. But I got to say, this really is clarifying everything that I've already learned from Abraham. It just seems to be articulated really, really clearly. And for me, it's telling me exactly what it is I'm looking for. And over and over and over again, what I'm hearing from them when I read the book is that I cannot turn my happiness over to anybody or anything outside of myself. And if I want to be in a state of well-being, which they refer to as the vortex, where everything that I desire is swirling and can come to me, and I've had enough experience to know that that really is true, it really works, that it's all about where I put my thoughts. It's all about where I put my thoughts. And it's never about what anybody else is saying or doing. Now, I know that. It's just I can't always do it. It was really, really helpful for me, and I've underlined and I've highlighted what is really standing out to me. And what I'm hoping I'm going to do now is every now and then just flip through it and reread those highlighted pieces to keep reminding me.
You're absolutely right. I think it's the exact same message, but they articulated it so differently that it just brought a tremendous amount of clarity to me. I thought it was just fantastic. And I know I heard it 50 times before, but the way that they said it this time, it was like, aha, I got it. I got it. It made sense.
Depending upon where each one of us is in our life and depending upon what the issues are that we're giving our attention to, perhaps each one of us is ready to hear what they say in a different way. But I know for me, I underlined this. Your true happiness happens when you discover, and we can keep discovering this time after time after time, that no one other than yourself is responsible for the way you feel. If you believe that others are responsible for the way you feel, you are in true bondage because you cannot control how they behave or how they feel. And for me, that's the crux of human relationships, that from the time we're little, our parents are telling us, and you know I work with parents and children, so this is my passion. From the time children are little, they're hearing a message that they are the ones who bring happiness to their parents. If they listen and they please, then their parents are okay. If they do not listen and they do not please, then they are responsible for mommy or daddy's unhappiness. And we've heard that a gazillion times from the time we're little ones. And it's in the love songs, you know, you make me happy. You cause my agony. You cause my grief. When you're kind and loving to me, then I'm happy. So it is so entrenched in our belief system that it is not me who's responsible for my own happiness, but it's the other people in my life. And I think that's the biggest belief system that we've got to soften in ourselves so that we can turn our thoughts to things that make us happy rather than if only he would change, if only she would change, if only things would be different, then I could be happy.
You know, it's so easy to see why low self-esteem is so prevalent in today's society. And it's based on the principle of focusing on things outside of ourselves rather than trying to make ourselves happy and the rest will follow.
You know, Julie, I remember as a little girl, my mom was the kind where she gave me the unstated belief. I don't remember her ever saying this to me directly, but I picked it up along life's way, and that was that I had to be good, and I had to be happy, and I had to please her so that she could be okay. That was the unspoken message that I got. And being the way I was, hardwired the way I was emotionally and spiritually, and I think I was a bit intuitive, I would always like be checking in. Is mom happy? Am I doing okay? Am I being a good enough little girl? If mommy wasn't happy, I took it on as my responsibility as a child, and I realized that I carried that through into my adult life, pleasing others, making others happy, saying okay, even when I really didn't want to say okay, taking on responsibilities, and even when maybe I needed just a hot bath and not run around doing errands for people. And I think there are many people who either succumb to it, many women tend to do that, or they just stiffen up and harden and get angry about it. And what I hear Abraham saying so gently and with so much love is, you neither have to take it all on, neither do you have to get angry. You just have to pay attention to how you feel and let that be your guide. Sounds so easy when they say it. It feels easy when they say it. I think it's just that I can only speak for myself, that as I'm living, every now and then I see that I get caught up in turning my attention to what does somebody else want, what does somebody else expect, my own ego, what my own ego is, you know, getting in the middle of. I know with my husband, just this morning I could feel I was upset with him. Why was I upset with him? Because he didn't do something that I wanted him to do yesterday, and I took that like he didn't love me, he didn't care about me. And when I started to giggle, I said, okay, Sandy, so this is all about him. This is all about him having to change. You just read the vortex. Here you are wanting him to change so you can be happy. And what I realized is I was having a little tantrum. Yeah, I want him to change. Yes, I do. I want him to do this. I want him to think more. I want. And I was able to then giggle and say, well, you know, you're going to attract more of this than I. And I didn't like that. I was angry about that, like a little kid. I don't want to attract more of this. I just want him to change. And after a few minutes of back and forth, I could feel myself soften up and say, are you willing now to turn your attention to something that feels good? And I started to giggle to myself. I said, okay, if I have to. And I started to think about all the things he did that were lovely and delightful. And I even got off of him and started to think about what a beautiful day it was and all the things in my life that I love. And I realized this is not about him. It's about me. But I wanted it to be about him because I didn't want to look at me. I didn't want to do the work. I just wanted to be mad at him.
Well, I think another thing that we can't forget, no matter how long we've been studying Abraham Hicks, there's still a factor involved in that we are still human. These emotions are still going to come up no matter how old we get, no matter how long we study. But the intensity of it will not be as much. But we can't deny the contrast of our being human and allowing these emotions to come up, just like you did. That was a great example.
Yeah, and you know what, Julie? I talk about this with people all the time, and what I've come to realize where I am right now with what I've learned from Abraham is that, yes, I know when I do this, it works. There is absolutely no question in my mind that when I turn my attention to thoughts that please me, that fill me with gratitude and appreciation, and I feel myself relax and soothe, it's amazing how things fall into place. I also acknowledge that there are times I get stuck, that being human, even though I know this, I have it, I hold it in my head, and I've lived it, and I know it to be true, there are still moments when I find that I get swooped into what's going on and swooped into those negative feelings and churnings that somebody else said something, did something, believed something. That's so crazy. How could they believe that? How could they do that? And I could feel that I'm swimming upstream. And even though I know it, it takes me a little bit of time to release it, which, I mean, years ago before I met Abraham, it would take me weeks and months and sometimes years of living like that. And what I've come to be appreciative of now is it usually now only takes me a day or two or maybe hours, or like I shared this morning, a couple of minutes for the realization to set in that I'm going in a direction that's not going to take me where I want to go. And it's really my power is knowing that I have a choice to do whatever it takes for me to shift gears and change the way I'm thinking. And what I did for myself this morning was I said, Sandy, you need to do something. I put on quiet music and I just released and meditated for a few minutes. And I didn't have a lot of time, but I knew that just by making the decision to be willing to do it, as I put the music on, I could feel myself relax. And as I closed my eyes, I could feel myself relax. And I wasn't so angry and so upset anymore because I knew that I was getting my power back. And the power is not to change somebody. That's never the power, to change somebody else. The power is to change me and change where my focus is.
And that is a very important statement.
And I'm not so angry at my husband anymore. I know I might want to talk to him about some things, and that's okay. That's part of human relationships. But when I talk to him, I'm not going to be crazy emotional crying and blaming him. I'm going to talk to him about the things that I was hoping we would get done this week. Let me just let the audience know, my son's getting married. Our son's getting married next week. Actually, when the show records, we're probably going to be right in the middle of the wedding. And so there's stuff that's got to get done. And that's why I'm feeling this stress and the tension right now. But just because I'm feeling a little stressed because the wedding is on top of us doesn't mean I have to be angry at my husband and hold him responsible for everything. I realize my power is in knowing that I can turn my attention wherever I choose to, and that's the key to my freedom.
Well said, Sandy, and actually that's the definition of what it's like in the vortex. Let me read a piece here for you. From inside your vortex, we focus upon all that you have asked for and therefore upon that which you have become. As you pay attention to your emotions and teach steadily for the best feeling thoughts you can find, you will move into your vortex whenever you desire. And the more often you are there, the more often you will want to return, because life from inside the vortex is sublime. Your point of attraction will be such that only things that are wanted will flow into your path. The people you encounter will be perfect matches to your highest interest, and you will not rendezvous with those not up to speed with who you are. You will feel vital and alive, clear-minded and sure. It goes on to state one more paragraph. You will find the best in others, whether they see it or not, and your appreciation for life will ripple through your body in the form of thrilling sensations as you focus upon the objects of specific appreciation. That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, what a promise. Imagine telling that to your children and learning that from the time you're young. And as you were reading that, I was thinking, okay, so just for myself and for the audience, how to use that in this situation that I'm describing with my husband. I mean, he's a person that I love. We're married 41 years. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in that time. And I know that when I am in my vortex, when I am in appreciation of all that he is, that I am in gratitude for, he shows more of that to me. When I am noticing what he's not doing, when I'm disappointed, when he's not hearing me, he shows more of that to me. It's so amazing. And so, as you're reading, what was coming to me was, as I sit here and appreciate him for all that he has done and for all that he's doing for the family and for his son and for the wedding and for me in general, I am giggling thinking he's going to walk into this house, because he's out now, he's going to walk into this house without me having to say a word. He's just going to do everything I'm asking for, everything I'm hoping for. He's going to be even more than I could even imagine. Because I know that that's how it works when I'm in my vortex. My daughter, my adult daughter, who's come in for her brother's wedding, was a little out of her vortex last week. There were a lot of things that she was carrying on about and upset about. And we've been talking about the book. We've been reading to each other and reminding each other about how to use our emotions, not to be afraid of them, but that when we do realize we have negative emotions, that it's just a guidance. It's a guidance system that's letting us know that wherever our attention is and whatever we're thinking about is off from what our inner being knows. And so she's been doing some work this week on herself to get her back into her centeredness and to let the vortex kind of suck her in. And one of the things she could not find was a pair of shoes to go with a dress for this wedding. She was in every store that she could think of in San Diego and in Southern Riverside County, and she could not find a pair of shoes in her price range that felt good, that went with the dress. And this is what she kept focusing on. I can't find the shoes. I can't find the shoes. I can't find the shoes. And so she's been doing this work this week in general about how she's feeling, and she released so much. Well, yesterday, she went down to San Diego because a friend of hers flew in from Europe, and she was taking her girlfriend around San Diego, and her girlfriend asked to go to the Apple store to buy something, which she couldn't get in Europe, and my daughter took her, And they happened to pass a store that my daughter never goes into, and her friend said, could we go in there? And guess what my daughter found in there? She found a pair of shoes perfect for the dress, perfect, and they were on sale for like $20. And she came home giggling. She came home giggling, and she said, oh, my gosh. You know, I let go of so much negativity. I let go of so much stuff that was making me crazy. I started focusing on things that I was appreciative for. I spent this fun day with a friend I haven't seen in a long time, and the shoes just kind of appeared. And we giggled and said, what do you think Abraham would say about that? When you're in the vortex, that's what happens. Stuff happens like that. It's wonderful.
And you always know when you're in the vortex because it feels so good. It's almost addictive because you crave it when you're not in the vortex. You know, you feel so awesome, so powerful.
You feel fun. I love when they say frisky. You know, I have a little dog. He's about 4 years old. He's still like a puppy. When he's frisky, you know he's frisky. He's playful. He's throwing his toys around. He's not growling and grouching. He's just having fun. And for me, when I'm like that, when I'm not thinking about anything that's scaring me or aggravating me or worrying me or bothering me, I'm feeling frisky. I'm having fun. I'm playful. I'm focusing my attention on being appreciative of the sunshine and the mountains or the flowers or the leaves and the trees or whatever. I'm focusing my attention on things that fill me with this playful, frisky feeling of why we're alive. Then I know I'm in the vortex. And when that happens, Julie, my experience has been these great things happen. It works. It really, Abraham says experience is the best teacher. And I can only say that I've experienced it. And it's fun. You know what else happened for my daughter, she told me? She's been looking for this charger for her camera. She's a professional photographer. And she has this really expensive charger for one of her cameras. She lives in San Francisco. She's been ripping her house apart. She can't find this charger. She was, okay, she gave up. She gave in. She's going to spend whatever the money is to buy a new charger. And because I believe she's released so much this morning, she was in our guest room, which used to be her bedroom. Guess what she found?
The charger.
There it was. That's the kind of stuff that happens. It's like miraculous when those things happen. And it's not coincidence. There are people who might say, it's a coincidence. I say, call it whatever you want. When you're in the vortex, all these things start to happen. But it begins with our willingness. I can only speak for me. It begins with my willingness to watch myself, to notice how I'm feeling, to recognize that when I'm angry, when I'm fearful, when I'm worried, when I'm annoyed with something, that's a signal for me, not that the world is bad and crazy and somebody else is mean and ornery. That might be true, but that's not my business. It's a signal for me, because I keep hearing Abraham say, get your nose out of everybody else's business. You know, we've been trained to put our nose in everybody else's business and comment on it. But that doesn't serve us well. At least I know it doesn't serve me well. So when I'm feeling like that, it's almost like there's this little fairy doing a dance on my shoulder saying, Sandy, 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 you're in the wrong place. Turn around, go someplace else. And the more I do this, the quicker I get to that recognition where I realize it's really my choice. I really have the power to make a choice. Even though sometimes it feels like I don't, I still need to be ornery. I still need to be angry. I still need to make my point. I still need to tell that person off. I still need to try to change somebody. And that starts to feel worse and worse and bigger, and I can't find things and nothing is working, and see, it's all their fault kind of stuff. And then the realization sets in. Your real power, Sandy, is to change your focus, turn your attention to something that feels better. And sometimes I hear myself kicking and screaming, saying, no, I don't want to. No, I want to stay angry and ornery. And okay, you could stay there. It might get bigger for you, and it might even get angrier and worse for you, but stay there as long as you need to. You're not bad. It's your choice. It's part of being human. But what you want is someplace else. Okay. I mean, that's the process. process I sometimes go through. Okay, I'll think of something that feels better, universe, God, Abraham, whoever's trying to get through to me. Okay. And then I start, sometimes, Julie, I can't think better thoughts about the topic that's making me crazy. So I'll go to nature because that's always a safe place. I'll go to the sky. I'll go to the stars, the moon. I appreciate the roses. I'll find things because there's always stuff in nature to appreciate. My bed, I'll appreciate my pillows. I'll appreciate the shower. Find something to start to turn around, and I realize, oh, that does feel better. And then I'm willing to start doing, you know, Abraham's given us all kinds of strategies, all kinds of focus wheels and ways to think. I would like to say to your audience, take whatever works for you and use that so that you can start to turn your attention someplace else. It feels good. It feels good. It feels better. Why not feel better? It's almost like I won't feel better till that person gets that I'm right and they're wrong. I won't feel better until that person changes. And the truth is we won't feel better because they're not going to change. You know, and some people live their whole life with that, and it's sad. And I don't want to live my life like that anymore. I want to be in the vortex, and I want to be happy and giggly, and I want to be everything you just read, and I want to attract people into my world that are in a happy, giggly, fun, loving place. And I want to have friends who aren't moaning and complaining. And I want to have colleagues who are passionate and love the things that they do. And I want to be with my family when everybody's having a good time. And I don't want to notice all the stuff that makes me crazy anymore. So I love this book because it keeps reminding me that I have the power to do that.
Wow, that was beautifully said. Well done. Now, Sandy, you are a parenting expert, and the book focused on what the parents can do in relationship to their children and what the children can expect from their parents. I really appreciated the fact that it is now in just one book. It's not a book each. It is in one book. It was great.
I loved that they did that, and I'm so hoping that parents are going to be able to hear what Abraham is saying, because some of this is really tough stuff. It's so different from everything we've come to believe about families and parenting. And it's really a shift from the way we've seen our role as a parent or as a child or as a sibling. I mean, they're really telling us, relax. You don't owe anybody anything. And you're not responsible for anybody else's well-being, and that is really different from what we've been taught to believe.
Especially in the roles of a parent-child relationship. Now, here's just some of the chapters in the book. I mean, really incredible. What are the natural father-mother roles? A perspective of a perfect parent. To whom are we responsible? What could parents learn from children? Why do siblings respond differently to similar influences? Must children take after their parents? Must inherited traits determine my future experience? Shouldn't children be taken away from abusive parents? Now, I found this to be very, very interesting. Do you remember that chapter, Sandy?
I think Jerry actually was asking about that because he felt that he was living with abusive parents. And I think they said no. Didn't they say that, Julie?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've got it right in front of me. Jerry was stating that if the current rules and regulations had been around when he was a child, then he probably would have been taken away from his parents and put into a foster home. And he goes on to state in another paragraph, it seems to me that there are many people who deliberately expose themselves to what I would consider to be abuse as they play hockey or football or face a challenger in boxing. Is it possible that we are all choosing and that I in some way chose the abusive treatment from my parents? And Abraham's response was, we are appreciating your question because many people would take issue with the idea of similarity between people being beaten up by sports they are choosing to play and children who are beaten up by their parents. But you're right about the similarity. They go on to state, what people do not understand is that you do not choose something by looking at it and shouting, yes, I would like some of that. You make your choices by your attention to things. In this universe that is based on attraction, when you look at an unwanted thing, your attention to it causes an activation of the vibration within you. And then the law of attraction brings more like it to your experience. Of course, it is terrible when a child is abused, but it is also a terrible thing when a child is disallowed the freedom to be who he really is. And what we want you to understand that in every case, those who are offering abuse, no matter how severe it is on your scale of things unwanted, are suffering their own disconnection from source while offering the abuse. In other words, it is not just the child suffering the abuse from the parent that is the problem, but it is the adult suffering the abuse of disconnection. Removing a child from physical abuse has to be seen as the best thing to do in that circumstance, but that action in no way solves the problem. In fact, the discord that was at the root of the abuse is only exacerbated by the physical removal of the child. Now, an unworthy feeling parent feels more unworthy, and in an effort to feel better, usually moves to more abuse, and often the child, who's worn down by the whole experience, feels even less secure, as he is now disallowed interaction with someone he truly loves. Abraham goes on to say, the issue of child abuse will not come to an end until people understand the emotions that they feel and are able to control the direction of their thoughts. Until the self-inflicted abuse of denying themselves connection to who they have become, to their inner being, subsides, violence in all forms will remain. What do you think, Sandy?
I think this upsets a lot of people because it sounds like the child resonated with abuse somewhere and therefore is attracting abuse to them. And how could an innocent little baby resonate with abuse and attract abuse to them? It just sounds wrong. And I don't think that's how Abraham is explaining it. I'm going to try to go there because I'm not even sure I totally understand this because this is such a big topic. But we come here, we come through parents, but when we were in non-physical, we knew that nothing would matter. It really wouldn't matter whether we came into poverty or a family that had money. It wouldn't matter whether we came as male or female. It wouldn't matter if we came into a household with a feathered nest or not. In fact, they say we didn't come with the intent. I think we all would like to have, from our human perspective, come into a home that was a feathered nest with a loving mother and father who could provide everything that we needed, and there was lots of love and lots of caring and lots of wonderfulness. I mean, I sometimes think, Abraham, what would be bad with that? Okay, we can have some contrast, but we don't need those really huge ones, do we? And I think what Abraham is saying to us was that when we made the decision to come forth, we didn't care about any of that. We knew we could handle anything. It didn't matter. We knew that no matter what living life as a human being, whatever those contrasts were, whatever that buffet was going to look like, we were going to be okay with it because we came here for expansion, and we would know what to do with whatever those contrasts were. And so if we happen to come through and grow inside the womb of a mother who was an abused person herself, was living with an abuser, was part of an abusive family, and that we, as we were growing as the baby inside the mother, we're now aware of abuse, and so our attention was turned to abuse, and so even as an innocent little baby, we were aware of abuse, and therefore attracted it to us, not because we were bad in any way or undeserving in any way, but it just happens to be the way we made our entry into the world, that's not as bad as we think from the human standpoint. And that this child coming into a less than perfect world or a less than perfect household or even a household where they were abused or someone came into that world, because kids are abused from other people, not necessarily in their own home, that it isn't as terrible a thing as we think, standing in our physical shoes, because that creates then such an incredible vortex for the child to move forward into. And that if we could just help the child stop focusing on the abuse and more about now where the expansion has taken the child, that it's that expanded place where all the phenomenal experiences lay waiting for that child to grow into their adulthood. I think the issue is that because we're human, we go back and focus on the abuse and go back and focus on the abuse and not be able to turn our attention to what that abuse created in where that child could actually go as a grown-up. And when we're in therapy in our 20s and 30s trying to figure out the abuse, even in the therapist's office, we're focusing on the abuse and focusing on the abuse and focusing on how angry we are. And I don't think that's, I mean, you know, some therapists would say, well, you need to do that. And I, from what I've learned from Abraham is, okay, maybe you need to go there for a little bit. But if you stay there, you never, and you don't turn your attention to what did that produce in you, what's the desire you want, you never get to what you came here for, which is to live in your expanded place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Abraham's talking about.
Yes, I think you're right. And here's another sentence that I found under the How Could Babies Attract Unwanted Experiences chapter. People often assume that because a child is not yet offering words, the child could not be the creator of its own experience. But it is our promise to you that no one else is creating your experience. Children emanate vibrations, which are the reasons for what they attract, even from the time of their birth. So what I think Abraham is saying is that children respond to the vibration of their parents. So if they're feeling that their parents have been abused and are abusive, they consider that to be the norm. And this states exactly what Jerry was trying to say. In the way that he was raised, it would be considered by today's standards to be abuse. But at the time, he just thought it was normal behavior because he did not know that the vibrations of his parents were anything other than normal. Did I say that right?
Well, I could just talk about myself for a minute. I came into the world through a mother and a father who I don't think were actually ready to have a child. I think my own mother and father had so many issues emotionally that you know, like a lot of people accidentally have a baby, you know, and sometimes that's what happens. And I came through into a home where there was a lot of disharmony. I believe that my parents were really struggling emotionally with many things. And by the time I was 2 years old, my parents were divorced. And my dad left. My mother was very strong, did not want him part of my life. He was not abusive, but he was a gambler. And she did not want him in my world. And I grew up with a single mom, which was unheard of back in the late 1940s. And my mom moved in with her parents. And there was a lot of stuff in my early childhood. Now, in no way do I believe there was anything wrong with my little girl, nor do I believe I came here ready to be born into a household where there was disharmony. It's just the way I came through, and it's what was in my vibration when I was born, and I don't know that there's any way for a baby not to notice these things. It's around you. It's the vibrations around you. And I had to have picked that stuff up. I had to. Now, what I believe for me is my life, what I put in my escrow all those years growing up, I believe was, I saw homes where parents were in well-beingness themselves, where parents were able to work their emotional issues out and where they were ready to welcome children with a maturity and a love and an environment where there was fun and enjoyment and friskiness and all the things that Abraham talks about. What do you think my life is about now? I dedicated my life to children. I was a teacher. I was an educator. I was a director. I was a college professor teaching teachers how to be the best. And now what do? Now I teach parents. I consult for parents. I write about how to be that parent, that joyful parent. This is my escrow. This is all the stuff my little girl put there. And I raised two children who I believe for a large part we were a joyful family. Were we perfect? No. And my own kids picked up their own vibrations from their life. I shared with you that there's still times I'm annoyed with my husband because I'm human. But what I realized I did was my little girl went through a lot of negative stuff, had to have focused on it, but it made me create an escrow account of how I saw life, and I'm living that now, and I think for future generations, they're going to hopefully have parents who have expanded in ways, and that I've put my little piece of that in there. And so if a child lives with abuse and puts into their escrow account that people figure out a way not to be so angry, and people find a way to be happy and maybe not have kids until they are okay, maybe that child would grow up and be one of these healers. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I guess the bottom line, what we're saying, Julie, is that if a child has come through in a family where there are things happening, it's very probable that the children now are in that vibration. And if they're in that vibration, they're going to attract more of that stuff in their vibration. And even when you take a kid out of an abusive household, if they're in that vibration, it's very likely they're going to be put into another place where there's more abuse. And if you know anything about the system, and I work with families who are here, when they take kids out of an abusive household, let me tell you, the foster families and the other families, there's still a lot of abuse going on. Until someone comes into that child's vibration where the child can start to turn things around, or where some loving teacher or some loving grandma, somebody who's healthy, can start to say to that child, isn't life wonderful, sweetheart? Let's go visit the zoo. Let's go watch the horse. Let's go bake cookies. And the child's attention is turned around to something else where they can focus on things that feel better. And at that time, that child's world can start to turn around. And it doesn't have to take a therapist. It can just take a loving grandma or a teacher who understands, or an incident in their life, and whammo, they start to turn their attention someplace else.
I love it. This stuff is just so good to know. You know, on top of the parenting aspect of this book, and they also talk in great detail about your relationship to money, your relationship to a future mate and how to find that future mate, how to remain positive around lackful people. I thought that was a great one. And also about opinions, I thought was very worthwhile. The one in particular that got me excited is, why does the media broadcast pain but censor pleasure? And Sandy and I know that this is the reason why we started Law of Attraction Radio Network to begin with. But the paragraph says here, we would like to help you remember that if you are waiting around for your society to get straightened out before you have a happy life experience, you will have a very, very long wait. If you're waiting for someone else in your experience to get straightened out before you have a happy experience, you're in for a long wait. You are not here to discover that which is perfect. You are here to create or to attract that which is perfect. As the contrast of your life and even of what you're calling unpleasant movies help you to know what you do not want, you also know more clearly what you do want. Focus upon what you do want. Become a vibrational match to what you do want. Train your point of attraction to what you do want, and watch your personal world become that. Well, I guess this would hold true in everything we do. If we do not like the way the government is operating, Then we turn around and we realize that it's contrast, and we create another government that we do want. All of this contrast is something that we can build off of to make something a lot better.
And you know, Julie, every now and then when I'm driving, usually when I drive in the car, I'm listening to
Law of Attraction Radio Network, right? Through your iPod, right?
every now and then I get tempted to put on a radio show that's got negative chit-chat on it. I don't know why. It's almost like it's my responsibility to check in and see what's going on. I got to know, you know, what CNN is saying or something like that. And I'll listen for a few minutes, and I'll say to myself, why am I doing this to myself? This is like tuning into insanity. I almost want to say, okay, Sandy, you're dialing into insanity. Is this really what you want? And like I said before, now it only takes me a few minutes where I could feel what's going on in my body when I listen to this stuff, that I say to myself, you know what, this is not helping you. You really don't need to know this stuff. And then I realized my power is changing my focus. And then listening to Law of Attraction Radio or listening to an Abraham CD or just soothing music, we don't have to get sucked into the media's craziness. It's not healthy. And like you just said and what Abraham said, knowing all the nuttiness that's going on out there is not making the world a better place. And it's certainly not making our own life better. And it's not getting us into the vortex. What it's really doing is it's taking us into the hither lens, and it's getting a little bit harder than to get into the vortex.
Absolutely. There may be a financial crisis going on all around you, but you don't have to participate in it. You can simply get into that vortex and create everything you possibly need. And another way to look at it, if you're in the vortex, you really don't care about a financial crisis all around, because you are already know that everything is just going to be perfect.
There are people in this world today who are thriving economically, and they're not bad people. I mean, I grew up thinking, well, if someone's thriving in a bad economy, they must be dishonest. That was my belief system from when I was a little girl. I don't believe that anymore. Now I know that there are people who are thriving even when there's stuff going around that anyone could prove to you, oh, no, we're in a terrible crisis. There are people thriving. I feel like I'm thriving. I feel like I'm living a good life. I'm making a wedding. I'm going on our wonderful cruise. I'm going on another vacation with my husband. I am not a millionaire. I am not a bad person. But little by little, things are trickling into my world that are allowing me to live well. And I don't attribute that to anything other than I am allowing it in.
Exactly. You know, the perfect example I have of this is the cruise. You know, here the world around us is saying there's a major recession going on. And here people are coming on the cruise. Some of them can afford it. Some of them can't. Do you know what happened to a lot of those people who couldn't afford it? They still found the money. They still manifested the funds to come aboard. That's what's incredible.
I want to say, if anyone is listening who really, really, really wants to come on this cruise, and it would really, really be fun to meet you and share these days of expansion between the workshops and just being together socially and being in each other's vibration in this lifted field of opening ourselves up on an ocean where the dolphins are swimming. I can't talk about friskiness. I feel frisky just imagining it. If there's a stirring in your heart that you would really want to come, instead of slamming it shut and saying, can't do it, just turn your thoughts around and say, I'd love to go. Okay, universe, I'm open to seeing how you're going to bring this to me. And then watch and see what happens.
So, Sandy, you are teaching a workshop on our wonderful cruise. Why don't you tell us about what you're going to be teaching us?
Well, my topic, again, you know, I shared with you about my little girl and how the work that I do now is helping parents grow into their own parenting greatness so they can be the parent that their children would love them to have, that we wished we had as parents, you know, that, oh, if only we had parents who had this wisdom for us. But my workshop is going to be on understanding our own inner child and how our little girl or our little boy, who, by the way, we carry with us wherever we go. We take our little boy or our little girl with us every place we go, and we can either be loving and kind and parent this little child and help this little child who maybe was abused or maybe wasn't loved as much as we wish they were or understood the way we would have loved to be understood or had the experiences maybe we wished we had. Well, we're here to nurture and continue to love that little child who lives within us. And so the workshop that I'm going to do is going to open up this ability to nurture and love this little one that we carry with us so that we can free the grown-up us to be the frisky people we want to be, to trust that all good things are waiting for us and that anything we experienced that wasn't so pleasant as a child is not something we need to focus on, but we can turn our attention to what we put in our escrow that's just lovingly waiting there for us, and that on a cruise to transformation is the place to say, yes, I'm going to turn my focus and my attention to all that's loving and wonderful that's waiting in my grown-up life, and I'm taking my little kid with me, and we're going to dance through this life together. And so that's what my workshop's going to be about, and I hope that it's going to open up a vortex for everybody who comes to it so they can just dance and sing and love their way through the rest of the cruise.
Sounds fabulous. And you can expect to see me in the front row listening to every word. I'm also going to be bringing my grandkids because I really think that they're going to get a lot out of this. You know, they were raised in a very abusive and a drug environment. So this is going to be quite wonderful for them to experience.
Oh, how wonderful for little ones to know that they have permission to be happy and excited and frisky and not have to please everybody. Oh my gosh, Julie, once your grandkids find out they don't have to please you, that's going to be interesting.
Well, that's going to be a learning experience for me, isn't it? I want to remind everyone to tune in every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time to hear the Leading Edge Parenting Show with Sandy. She really does bring you so much information on how you can allow your child to find their true authentic self. Sandy, you know, you've been on the air for almost 10 months. How do you like your show? What do you think?
Well, you know, this is so law of attraction, Julie. About 3 weeks before you actually asked me if I ever thought about doing a radio show, I had started thinking about how much I would love to have a radio show. And I was thinking, you know, I listen to Dr. Laura, and so many people tell me I should have a show like Dr. Laura. And instead of me saying, yeah, right, I'll never have a show like Dr. Laura, I started thinking and imagining and dreaming and saying, yeah, I'd love to have a radio show. That would be great. Okay, universe, bring it to me. Just like that. I didn't figure out how it was going to happen. I didn't think about, that's ridiculous. It's never going to happen. I just put it out there, giggled about what fun it would be. And about 3 weeks later, you said, Sandy, did you ever think about having a radio show? And I said, did I ever? And there it was. I love when that kind of stuff happens. And it's just been a kick, Julie. You know, at first I thought, where am I going to find guests to come on my radio show? And I thought, okay, well, that's not where you want to turn your attention. I'm not going to find guests. I said, okay, universe, bring the most wonderful, fascinating people to me that my audience would love to listen to in every area of parenting so that I can be supportive to parents all over the world. And these wonderful, incredible people just dropped into my life. It's amazing how it happens. And so now I have the show every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. In the morning, Pacific Standard Time, and the most incredible guests have been on the show since the beginning of January, and more are flowing to me.
And you have developed a huge international fan base. It's incredible.
Huge fan base around the world. I've heard from people in Australia, and I get letters from people in Italy. There's actually a naval base in Gaeta, I think it's called Gaeta, Italy, which is south of Naples, where all the military wives sit and talk about the show. They listen to it. Some of them are pregnant. Some of them have children. It's just wonderful to know that this message can be heard around the world. It's exciting. It's wonderful. I love getting emails from people. I've even had guests who say, have you thought about this person as a guest? Have you thought about that person? And I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I follow up on it. And it's been wonderful, and I hope some of your listeners, if any of them are parents or grandparents, we have lots of things aimed at grandparents who are ready to make a shift from, there's no guilt here. If you raised your kids one way, you have an opportunity now as a grandma, grandpa, to do it in a more Abraham fashion. How wonderful for your children and your grandchildren.
Well, Sandy, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been so, so much fun. I just love talking about Abraham Hicks. It just makes me feel great. And thank you, Sandy, for everything that you're doing and for all the information, the vital information that you are putting out to the world. We need it. Thank you so much.
Well, Julie, I can't think of anything that would be more fun, more aligning for me than coming on a show with you and talking about getting into the vortex. I feel really frisky now. I can't wait for my husband to come home and for me to love him, and I can't wait to see all the wonderful things he's going to do for me without me asking.
Well, I look forward to hearing a full report on that one. So it's time to say goodbye to all the wonderful listeners. Have a wonderful week, and just know how much I truly, truly appreciate you. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.